If you are looking for even more help and guidance on your breakup, I have a few different options for you to take your healing to the next level. I have 4 different online courses depending on what stage of the breakup that you're in, from beginning all the way into moving on after heartbreak. Or you can bundle all of my courses together and use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. I also have my 30-day no contact challenge to help hold you accountable in going no contact with your ex. And we have our free Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with other people going through breakups all over the world. To learn more about any of these resources, head to the show notes where you can learn more about my courses, take the quiz to figure out which course is best for you, or join the Facebook group. And don't forget to use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. Welcome to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast with your host, Breakup Bestie, aka me, Kendra. Breakups are hard, but you don't have to do it alone. Each week, I will be taking you through a different topic as it relates to breaking up, healing from heartbreak, growing in your single life, dating, and getting back into happier and healthier relationships. The goal of this show is to provide support, hope, tips, and to remind you that above all, this too shall pass. Welcome back to another episode of the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast. Today I have Dr. Marie Tuen on the podcast. She is a dating and relationship coach with a focus on mindful dating, which I feel like are two words you very typically don't hear together, because in a lot of ways, dating does not feel mindful in and of itself. But we talk all about intentional relationships and how to tap into what you really want out of a relationship and letting go of this checklist that society tells us we need to have within a partner. We talk about how to be authentic when you are dating and how to mindfully swipe on the apps. I'd say the through line of this episode is how to be authentically you and how that will really serve you when you are dating and when you are just on the apps. We also talk about another area of expertise of hers, which is consensual non-monogamous relationships, which I will say, you know, and I say in this episode, is not necessarily for me, but we talk about what it looks like, why people might choose that, and how being with certain people might bring out different things in you. And I think my goal on this podcast is to give you all the tools available for healing and, you know, expanding our perspective on what relationships look like so everyone can find what works for them. So this was a really fun and very interesting conversation that I will say I went into with certain beliefs, and I love learning new things like this. So please enjoy Dr. Marie Tuen. Welcome, Marie, to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast. Very excited to have you on to talk about a couple different fun topics, but really grateful to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me, Kendra.
So I always start by asking people how they got into their area of expertise. And I mean, I guess you kind of have 2 different topics that at least we're going to be talking about here: mindful dating and then the idea of compersion, which if you've never heard that word, don't stress, we'll talk about it. But I would love to hear your story of what led you to get into this and then what led you to connect these 2 things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So really, I've always been fascinated with the idea of intentional relationships. And I grew up in a very intentional relationship structure or family structure, where my parents decided not to get married and not to cohabitate while also intentionally parenting me. And I think that really set me out on a course of questioning social norms and social norms around relationship and family and how we create our intimate relationships and why. So throughout my young adult life, I had my own experiences of dating and trying to determine, like, what is the shape that I want my relationship life to be? Not necessarily creating boxes for people in advance, but actually, like, really trying to follow the intelligence of my own heart and the connections that were being born. And that, I think, taught me a lot about mindful dating, which is the first topic we're going to talk about, but then also about questioning norms like monogamy, which led me to my other research interest that I did my PhD on, which is compersion in non-monogamous relationships. So basically, questioning social norms and wanting to be intentional about relationships is what set me on this course.
Would love if you could talk a little bit more about this idea of intentional relationships, because I think intentional and traditional can probably get misconstrued of, okay, I'm going to, very intentionally find a partner, get married, buy a house, have kids, like that checklist I think we all have come up with. And can you talk a little bit about what does an intentional relationship look like to you?
Yes, thank you for that distinction. Well, intentional means to me that we don't go with the default setting. So society gives us a default setting of what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to be, and in our relationship life, what are we supposed to expect? And that default setting usually prescribes. There's a beautiful concept called the relationship escalator, the idea that boy meets girl. It's a boy and a girl. They meet, they have an attraction, they kiss, they might go out, they then form a relationship, they declare exclusivity, they talk about moving in together, they talk about marriage, they get married, they have children, they have grandchildren, and they die together. And that's the prescribed default setting of what we've been told to expect from our relationship life. And when things don't go according to that plan, we often think there's something wrong with us or with the people we meet, our partners, for not, following that script. And to me, intentional relationship is to actually, instead of putting all of our power into that kind of external script or external source of authority, it's to look inwards and look at what is really in my heart to do? What kind of relationship do I want? Who am I attracted to? And come at it with as much of an open mind and an open heart as possible. And that is a difficult process. It's easier said than done, this process of disentangling, like what is a default setting versus what is really my own personal intention in this moment. But it pays off dividends because when things don't go according to plan, so to speak, then you have yourself to land back on because you've been with yourself at every step and not just giving away your power.
I love that. That makes a lot of sense. And I'm thinking of, I've had people who come to me and say, I got to a place where I didn't even like the relationship that I was in, but it ended and I felt terrible, which that's saying something where that it's like if we're not even really liking the partner or liking the person and but again, that escalator gets knocked, we get knocked off that the escalator of relationships and we think, okay, I'm screwed because I don't have a relationship, even if I didn't really like the person.
Right. And I mean, I think to speak to the topic of your podcast, healing your heartbreak, I think so much pain that we experience when we are experiencing breakups or divorce is not even from the breakup or the heartbreak itself. It's from the shame that we feel. And we feel like we have failed or that the partner has failed us and that we're not winning at life because we didn't get into that relationship that was going to end in one of us dying. Like that's the socially prescribed version of success in relationship is you get into a relationship and it's monogamous till death do us part. And anything besides that still, has that kind of stigma of, oh, there's something wrong with you because you did not accomplish that pretty unrealistic goal.
Yes. And I was listening to a podcast and the host was talking about how, we don't put a lot of emphasis. We put so much emphasis on, okay, two people get married, even like in this, I think the case he was talking about, they have these beautiful kids, they, have all these great memories together, and then it doesn't work out. And we put so much emphasis on the divorce and it not working out, and we neglect to look at Wow, we had 15 great years together and we had these beautiful kids together. And I want to be clear, this is not to invalidate the heartbreak that comes from a 15-year whatever relationship ending, but I think it does speak to the point of the additional pain that so many of us experience because of the shame that comes along with it. And, obviously losing a person important to us is always going to be painful and make us question a lot of things, but I think you're so right that the shame really overshadows a lot of the things and makes the heartbreak feel that much more intense.
Right. Because then it doesn't all, only feel like a rejection from another person or of another person. It feels like self-rejection. It's like, oh, you're no longer loyal to yourself because you're feeling like a failure. And that is super painful. It's like a whole different layer of pain.
Yeah, I actually have never thought about it like that, that there is that level of a lot of self-abandonment that can come within a relationship ending because we do, and I've done this where I've set aside certain things that I want in a relationship because I'm just chasing the dream, I'm just chasing the dream of wanting the person and I'm letting go of a lot of my ideals and my values. And I'm, blaming myself and I'm, questioning all the things I did. And yeah, that's a huge, level of self-abandonment that I think a lot of people experience post-separation.
And I mean, to bring it back to dating, people experience that during the dating process. And I think that's why a lot of people say that they hate dating. I mean, there's many reasons why people might not enjoy dating, but I think the self-abandonment that's so prevalent, like this idea that you have to abandon your true self in order to seduce someone, in order to, more or less manipulate somebody else into liking you and choosing you, and that's more important than being true to yourself. Well, that doesn't feel good. And how is that the foundation for a healthy, solid, authentic relationship?
Yeah, it's interesting. I have been pitched so many times about dating experts to come on this show. And there's been so many that I have said no to because I really believe that any kind of tactic that we employ for dating is really just goes against, I don't know, my beliefs on how you form, a good relationship. And there's, it is like it's manipulating other people. It's also, manipulating us of making us believe that we have to do something in order to achieve, love or to be loved or to be adored. And I just don't, I don't know, I just don't believe that to be true. And I remember way back in the day of the Why Men Love Bitches book. Do you remember that book?
No.
I honestly was probably in high school or something, like too young to be reading it. But I remember this book came out of Why Men Love Bitches. And I remember thinking, I'm kind of screwed here because I'm just not, I'm just not a bitchy person. And
You're not a big
I'm not like
bitch.
the cool girl that can be cold and all that stuff. And I remember being like, this doesn't feel right. So I like the idea of, going into it feeling not confident in yourself, but just feeling authentic with yourself. And I'd love if you could talk about what is mindful dating to you.
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up. And I want to premise my answer with actually like a little story, because what we just said is so synchronistic. I just had a session with a coaching client of mine who asked me for advice with how he presents himself and how he creates his online dating profile. But really, like, we had a much deeper conversation about how he feels about himself and what he has to bring to people and what he has to bring to the world and his own sense of value. And the truth is, there's no gimmicks to dating. You can have the best crafted dating profile, but if you don't feel like you have something to contribute, and you're not secure in that knowledge, dating is not going to be that successful, or you're not going to attract the right people for you. So for me, mindful dating, yeah, there's no shortcut. It's about really reclaiming your own authenticity and dating from that place rather than from a place of gimmicks and manipulation and self-abandonment.
Yeah. I mean, and what we talked about in the beginning, this idea of intentional relationships, I imagine it's also getting abundantly clear on what do you want out of relationship, which, I mean, speaking for myself, at one point it was, I want a ring. I want kids, I want security, but it's so much more than that. And how do you recommend people, especially people that are single that aren't in a relationship, how do you recommend people picture what they want out of a relationship outside of the prescribed societal norms?
Yes. So actually, it's great that you're starting there because I have six pillars of my framework for mindful dating. And the first pillar is exactly that. It is visioning your desires in relationship and really getting clear about your why. Why do you want a relationship to begin with? What are you hoping to achieve? And that is the starting point of intentionality. So how do you figure out what you want? Well, conversations with a coach or a therapist or your good friends about that can be very illuminating. Doing some inquiry through journaling and even looking at role models, looking around and asking yourself, like, what do I kind of like about this person's relationship versus that person's relationship? Like, what would I want? What are the qualities and the characteristics that I would want in my relationship? Like, do I really want to be in love? Do I want to feel adored? Do I want to have a certain lifestyle? Do I want someone who matches that lifestyle? Like, what is the order of priority in terms of my chosen values? And where do those values come from? Like, doing the work again of disentangling, like, what is a value that feels like it's come from my family of origin or society or my peers? And
Or
does that
social
really feel
media.
true? Social media, oh my gosh, of course. And what is it that feels true to me? What is it that makes me feel inside like, oh yeah, like that's really me? And that's the freedom inside of me speaking. And that is, yeah, that's a very interesting process.
Let me ask you this: is would you say there's a like any wrong answers as to why someone wants a relationship? Like, is it okay for someone to just want a relationship because they really just want to have kids, or they just really want a partner, someone in their life, and it's not any deeper than that? Or do you feel like there is a wrong answer?
No, I don't think there's any wrong answer. As long as people are honest with each other and that things are consensual. I think
Yes.
when we especially talk about marriage and a committed relationship, like there is an aspect of it that is like a contract. It's an agreement. It's two people saying like, hey, we want to agree to these terms because we both have these goals and these goals will be facilitated by being in this marriage. And there's an aspect of it that's very left brain, and that's okay. Like there's nothing wrong with it as long as people are upfront.
Yeah, and I like the idea of going through what you value within a relationship and the feelings you want to have and examining where that came from. I think I've told this on the podcast before, but with my husband, we went through a period where I was disappointed because I felt like there was not enough romance or like huge acts of, love or whatever that looked like. And it wasn't until I went through with my therapist and it was like, where is that coming from? And I had to really look at like, okay, this is coming from social media. This is coming from things that I'm seeing. And when it came down to it, if I were to have that, presented to me, it wouldn't do it for me, and that's just something that I had to realize. And now for Valentine's Day, like we maybe get each other a card, but it's not this big thing that I thought it needed to be. And it was causing like disruptions within a relationship. And I don't think I would have realized that. I probably would have continued to feel resentful and for something that isn't even mine.
Yes. Oh my gosh. What a beautiful example of being able to release something that's not yours and
Yeah.
release you and your partner from that story.
Yeah. And I think being able to take the time when you are single to go through and say, okay, go through my list and then look at like, is this really mine? Or is this my parents? Is this something I'm trying to, do differently than my parents did? And maybe, I don't know, maybe you want some of the similar things that your parents had. So I really like that process.
Right. And honoring that we change over time too. Like what you wanted 5 or 10 years ago or 15 years ago might not be the same thing that you want now. I see a lot of people who maybe post breakup or post divorce acknowledge, like, okay, this is what I wanted in my last relationship. And now I want something different. Maybe I have different values, different experiences I want to have. And that's okay. Those preferences, those values, they don't have to be the end of the road for the rest of your life.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. What do you want your 2025 story to be? Every January brings you 365 blank pages waiting to be filled. And with you going through a breakup, I know your 2025 might look different than you thought it was going to be. But life isn't about resolutions that fade by February. It's about picking up the pen and becoming the author of your own life. Think of therapy as your editorial partner, helping you write new chapters and creating the meaningful story you deserve to live. For me, after taking some time off of therapy, I've decided to restart this year. I really have been needing that space to talk through what's going on in my mind, and I'm hoping to get some new tools to cope with the recent stress I've been going through. BetterHelp is fully online, making therapy affordable and convenient, serving over 5 million people worldwide. And you can easily switch therapists at any time for no extra cost. Write your story with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/heartbreak today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/heartbreak. I'm sure it won't surprise anyone to hear that only about 8% of people stick with their New Year's resolutions. I know in the past I've made it the goal to meditate every day, work out 4 times a week, stop ordering takeout, but those have never seemed to last. What if there was a way to make a resolution automatic? While Acorns can't help with the gym, they can make saving and investing money automatic in just 5 short minutes. With everything else you have going on with your breakup, take saving money off your plate and start the year with Acorns. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing so your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, and your retirement. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits you and your money goals. And you don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you invest with the spare money you've got right now. You can start with $5 or even just your spare change. Financial stress has always been one of my biggest stress points, and it's a habit I've had a hard time sticking with. I love that Acorns can take that off my hands where I don't even have to think about it. Head to acorns.com/heartbreak or download the Acorns app today to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risks. Acorn Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorn.com/heartbreak. Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes in addition to your breakup overwhelm? If you're a woman, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. In our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, and they all mess with our hormones. And these hormone disruptors are on top of the natural hormone changes we go through. And even though it is a natural process, it doesn't mean it doesn't wreak havoc on us. The good news is you don't have to suffer through it anymore. Thanks to Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth, a formula made with only herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal changes in women of all ages. I love that Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. And here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. That's why Hormone Harmony is perfect for women of all ages who are struggling with life-disrupting symptoms such as PMS symptoms, menopause symptoms, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, and occasional bloating and gas. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code HEARTBREAK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code HEARTBREAK for 15% off today. Yeah. And I might be skipping over some of the things in here, but when it comes to the actual act of, mindful dating and specifically talking about apps, I do think the feedback that I hear all the time is that it feels so mindless and it feels so anxiety inducing. And It's so easy to get swept up in it and make it mean so much about us. And I don't think I ever really hear great, like, positive experience. Yes, I hear people meeting people, but the actual process of navigating the apps and, going on first dates, I just never feel like I hear great stories about it. So, do you have tips for how to do that more authentically and more mindfully?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. I have actually devised a whole other framework that's called mindful swiping.
Oh,
And
yeah.
I teach people, I have a video on my website that's available so people can download. But basically, it goes from really ritualizing your use of the apps. So, like being in the driver's wheel, because, the reason why people tend to hate the apps is that the algorithms try to hijack your brain into, so many traps, the illusion of so many choices and never wanting to settle and just like playing with your insecurities. And, it's not very natural for us to have access to so many people and so many opportunities to be rejected. So what I recommend is to create a really intentional plan, 15 minutes a day of swiping, but doing it in a very centered way. So instead of just like swiping mindlessly when you're at the grocery store or, like in the bathroom or anywhere,
Or at
where
like a
you
red
create,
light, which it's so easy to just pull
oh
out
my
your phone.
God, that's so dangerous. Don't do
I know.
it. So, how about you sit down, play some nice music, light a candle, and reconnect with your intentions? Like your why. Like, why are you there? What do you want from a relationship? What are your must-haves from a partner? And then sit down and swipe. And do it with discernment, with intentionality, with centeredness, and whatever emotions are going to be triggered. Really observe them and sit with them and be with yourself and don't abandon yourself as a result. And I think that's a practice that can be so powerful, not just, like a means to a goal of meeting the person you want to meet, which, will have a better chance of happening if you do this mindfully, but also it will give you this great practice terrain with your emotions as you're navigating your romantic self. I think one of the greatest gifts of having a dating coach is that, intentional space to navigate your romantic self, which is something that feels very tender, very private, very complicated. And we don't tend to talk about it very much. Even with our friends, sometimes it feels like, okay, we have those rote comments and those narratives that we talk about love, but like, who are we really when it comes down to it? Like, what's our vulnerability? So even to hold that space with ourselves and using the apps can create a container to do that. Even writing your own profile, like I think that can be an empowering exercise to do it in a way that feels authentic and true to you.
So quite a bit ago, I was on the apps, and a big part of me is I don't drink. I've been sober for a really long time, and I remember questioning, should I put on my profile that I don't drink? Because I hated the whole, do you want to go for drinks? No, I don't drink. I just didn't like that. And I got feedback from a few people saying, don't lead with the fact that you're a recovering alcoholic. But I remember being like, no, because it's such a big part of my life. And if someone passes on it because of that, that's not someone I want to date anyway. So I like that advice of doing it that in a way that feels right. And just knowing that they talk about it with, with business and branding, you want to be a magnet in a way that you do attract people, but you also repel the wrong people. You don't necessarily want to be a magnet for everyone. You want to repel certain people and attract other people. So I like that of, doing it not in a template that you get on a website of, but what feels good to me to put out there.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, it is very much like good branding. Like there
Yeah.
is this really good parallel. Like if you were to advertise a service or a product to the right audience, I know that marketing gets a bad rap because there's all this, manipulation, but also it makes sense that you would want to appeal to the right people. And how do you do that? It's by being really authentic.
And what's your advice for people are swiping, they match, they start a conversation, maybe they go on, a first date. What do you recommend to people when they start feeling that pull of, and this is coming from me as a major former people pleaser of, when you start feeling that pull to, oh yeah, I like that too, or, starting to feel like you want to meld around this person's ideals. What advice do you have for bringing yourself back to, no, this is what I want. This is who I am.
Well, remembering that your first loyalty needs to be to yourself, and that has to do with remembering that you have something to give. So I actually really like the book called Deeper Dating by Ken Page, who is also a dating expert in this field, who I really admire. And his whole framework is about discovering and owning your core gifts. And your core gifts are the parts of you that might not have always gotten, like the most love and approval, but they are really true to you. And the more loyal you can be to your gifts, then the better relationships you can have with others because you're actually relating on the basis of truth. So I think when you start feeling that kind of people-pleasing tendency come out and wanting to say the right thing and agree with them, even if you don't really agree with them, I think that's your cue to tell yourself, like, oh, if we're gonna have a relationship at all, we're gonna have a good relationship. It has to come from a place of authenticity. And yeah, just like give them the gift of your truth. And I think remembering, like, you're not doing them any favor if you just agree with them. And if you don't own your no and your yes, then you're not being truthful to them as well. So it's not a match. You have to realize that it's nice, it's a kind thing to release both of you from a connection that was not based on truth.
I believe
So
that
if
so
you
much.
believe kindness, like you have to be true to yourself.
Yeah, I believe that 100%. And anytime someone comes to me and says that they're thinking about ending the relationship, I always remind them, like, you are doing the other person a favor by ending them. If this is not right for you, the kindest thing you can do is set both of you free to find what does work. Yeah, we do feel like we're, someone's doing us a favor by entertaining us or doing us a favor, instead of realizing, I love that, like staying really true to your gifts. I think that's really great advice moving through a very, vulnerable thing. Dating's vulnerable. Here I am. Do you like me? Do you not like me? That's scary. So I think taking care of yourself in that way is really important. So let's shift gears into consensual non-monogamy. I have someone in my life that, went a few years ago, came to me and told me this was something that she was doing. And I remember, like, in full honesty, at first I was, whoa, this is wild to me as someone who, like, never knew and realizing I think it is probably a lot more common than people realize. Can you just give us a little bit of background on what is consensual non-monogamy? Because I know there's a few different facets of it and yeah, for people that I've never heard about it.
Totally. So consensual non-monogamy is an umbrella term, and it includes all kinds of non-monogamy that are not cheating. That's why we use the word consensual to distinguish from non-monogamy that is not consensual. So consensual non-monogamy includes swinging, where people go to swing clubs and have swaps, between two usually married couples. It includes polyamory, where there's the freedom to have multiple emotionally committed relationships at the same time with the knowledge of everyone involved. It can include open relationship, which is an umbrella also that talks about, like maybe we're not having emotionally committed relationships with others, but we have the freedom to go have sex with others sometimes. Like everyone has their different shape and agreements of what consensual non-monogamy means for them. Another one that I really like is monogamish. It's when you're mostly monogamous, but maybe you make exceptions when, like you're on a business trip. Okay, if you want to have a fling with someone, that's okay. Things like that. And the latest research says that about 5% of the American population is currently in a consensually non-monogamous relationship. So that is a very big
That
chunk.
is, yeah, I was gonna say that's higher than I thought.
And about 20% have experienced it at some point in their life.
Wow.
And oftentimes we wouldn't know, like you said, like your friends or your neighbors might be consensually non-monogamous, but they present socially as a monogamous couple, but they just don't advertise the fact that they're not fully or not at all monogamous. So it's one of those identities that can be just like hidden in plain sight.
I'm thinking back to my first instinctual reactions to something like that because, and I can't imagine I'm alone in this, but to me, at first, I think it was something like, oh, your husband or the wife just wants to sleep around and the other person doesn't want to lose them or what, you know. I feel like I thought that there was just like selfish reasons as to why someone wants to do that. But I think the more I have listened and heard things about it, like it is something that people both find a lot of joy in. And can you talk about why are some of the reasons people go into non-monogamy?
Well, usually people go into non-monogamy either because of philosophical reasons or pragmatic reasons. The philosophical ones are usually people who say, like, you know what? I don't want my partner to feel constrained by our relationship, or I don't want to feel constrained. I want to feel like I have my erotic and bodily autonomy, and that is what love means to me, is to give each other that freedom. People who go into it for more pragmatic reasons are usually people who feel like, logically speaking or pragmatically speaking, I can't get all of my needs met with this one person. I really want a specific kind of sex or frequency of sex that my partner is not really inclined to share with me. So I'm gonna get my needs met somewhere else. Or maybe my partner wants a certain kind of sex or frequency of sex that I don't want to give them. So it relieves me from the pressure to give that to them if I know that they can get this need met elsewhere. And that can also go for sometimes emotional needs, like my partner really loves to go camping, and I don't want to be going camping every weekend. I'd rather them do that with their other partner. So things like that, where it makes more sense to have multiple people sharing the needs and spreading the needs around, basically.
Do you think everyone is capable of doing this, or do you feel like it's certain people that are? I'm just thinking of, myself and, picturing my husband doing, with someone else. And, if I'm being honest, it's very hard for me to envision. Do you feel like it's only for people that maybe have certain qualities or certain beliefs?
I think it's easier for some people than others, like people who have that philosophical orientation of like, oh, this is completely in alignment with my values. It's usually easier for them. But I think it is possible for almost anyone in the right context. And what I learn in my academic research on compersion, which is sharing the joy of your partner when they're experiencing joy with somebody else. And what promotes that? Like, what enables somebody to actually feel good and feel happy for their partner when they're experiencing sexual or romantic fulfillment with someone else is usually because the context is favorable to you and to your relationship. You might think, like, well, if I imagine my husband running around with, a bunch of women and basically me feeling abandoned at home, that doesn't feel good. Well, that's one context. But if it was a context where you have something to gain, for example, like, oh, maybe you would like to have a fling with someone when you're on a business trip, and then they get to have that too, and you realize that it doesn't hurt the stability of your marriage and it doesn't take anything away from you. And okay, like in that circumstance, you can say yes to it full-heartedly. Or maybe it's a specific person that, oh my gosh, like, I would maybe feel hesitant with you being with most people because I don't really trust them, don't really like them. But maybe with that one person, I think that's actually really good for you that you would be with them. Or, maybe it would be good for
Interesting.
us. Maybe you would grow in certain ways that would benefit the ecosystem of our relationship. Like, it is very contextual.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I've actually I've gotten messages before of relationships ending because one person wanted to explore that and one person didn't. And I think that, that is okay. And I don't think we have to, again, like, I think the message of this whole podcast is this idea of we don't need to fit inside of a certain box, let alone someone else's box, in order to have fulfillment in relationships in our life,
Yeah, absolutely. And I often criticize normativities, like those scripts that, like tell people like you must be this and you must be that. And to be honest, like, okay, there's the monogamous normativity, like the official word for it is mononormativity. It's the script that only monogamy is a valid way to love. And outside of that, you're defective. There's something wrong with you. But when you get into the realm of consensual non-monogamy, sometimes there's also polynormativity, like people who are polyamorous advocates who would say, like, well, if you're not polyamorous, then there's something wrong with you. You're not evolved, you're not free. So I'm a big fan of dismantling orthodoxies and just, like bringing back the power to each person to say, like, what works for me in this moment in my life, in this relationship, what works for us, and to feel that kind of freedom.
Yes, exactly what I was going to move into. This freedom of, when you meet a particular person of saying, oh, wow, I'm feeling certain things for this person that I've never felt before. Or I don't picture myself having, I'm just thinking of quote unquote more traditional things. Like someone might be with someone and say, like, I can't picture having kids. And then they were with someone else and it's, oh, I can picture having a family with this particular person. Does that mean there was something wrong with the first one? No, it doesn't. It's like, to me, I would say vibe. We vibe with certain people differently and we can see different things in ourselves differently with different people. And it doesn't mean anyone is less than or better than.
Totally. I mean, if we think about friendships, like with certain friends, we might feel like, oh, that's my workout buddy. I love to work out with them, but I don't really want to go sit down and have a beer and a full conversation with them. That's not really what this is about. With another person, you could just talk all night, talk for hours.
Yeah, and then if you think of like going on a trip with them, you're like, absolutely not. I would never spend an overnight thing with this person, And it doesn't mean you don't like the person. It's just different stuff. So I have loved this conversation and this like through line of what do you really want? Like, what do you really want for yourself? What do you really want if we ignore, not ignore, but kind of shut out those societal things or that checklist that I, that we're all quote unquote supposed to follow. So where can people connect with you if they wanted to work with you coaching wise? Or, I'll link, I think you said the resource on mindful swiping. I will link that in the
Yes.
show notes, but
Thank
anything that
you.
people can connect with you on, I would love to, if you could share.
Yeah, totally. Well, a good place to find me is Instagram at Dr. Marie Twin. I also have a website, www.marietouin.com, where you can find all my work on both mindful dating, mindful swiping, and compersion. I also wrote a book on compersion that just cut out in June of this year, and that is available online. It's called What is Compersion? Understanding Positive Empathy in Consensually Non-Monogamous Relationships. And I also have a couple of webinars, both on mindful dating, mindful swiping, and compersion 101 for people who want to go a little bit deeper. Oh, and finally, sorry, I should also say I offer a free 30-minute exploratory session for folks who want to explore one-on-one coaching.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, I will link that stuff in the show notes, but thank you so much, Marie, for coming on and sharing. This was a really fun and insightful conversation. So I'm excited for people to hear it.
Oh, thank you, Kendra. This was really fun.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you loved it, I hope you'll leave a review and share with your friends. If you're not already following me on Instagram, head to @yourbreakupbestie, where I'm sharing new content almost every day. To join our Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with thousands of people from all over the world going through breakups, head to the link in the show notes. And don't forget to check out my online courses for more in-depth help through your healing journey. I always end these episodes the same way, reminding you to be nice to yourself, stay connected with loved ones, and the biggest reminder is that this too shall pass. I promise.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.